Hey guys, welcome back to the Big Move Podcast. I'm your host, Em, and today I'm chatting with Yalda.
My aim is really to educate people so they can take charge of their own health and make informed choices.
Yalda is a gut health and inflammation expert and the founder of Eat Burn Sleep, which is a platform created to help inform people about how they can make simple changes to their long-term health. This episode is chock full of science and education, you guys, via Yalda. She really is the expert in this space. She's talking to us about taking control of our health, teaching us about inflammation and the gut, and reminding us that our health is just not something that we can outsource. That's enough from me. Here's my chat with Yalda. Yalda, hi. Welcome to the Big Move Podcast.
Hi, Em. Thank you so much for having me.
We're so excited to have you on. We have so many questions to get through, so we are just going to dive in. Yalda, could you just give our audience a brief breakdown on who you are?
Yes, absolutely. My name is Yalda. I'm an inflammation pioneer. I am a nutritionist based in London, and my work started back in 2007 when I got diagnosed with the first autoimmune disease. Then in 2012, I got diagnosed with a second autoimmune disease. My background was finance, so I had a very nerdy side to me. So I decided I was going to research it and try and heal myself. It took me over 10 years to come up with a method to lower my chronic inflammation. And after that, I decided to share and help more people. I've retrained as a nutritional therapist, and I now help thousands of people online improve their gut health, inflammation, physical and mental health on my lifestyle platform, which is also an educational platform on eatburnsleep.com.
Perfect. It's a perfect synopsis. And I actually love inflammation pioneer. I feel like that's the perfect sort of word to describe you. So Yalda, on this podcast, I love to touch on our guests' quote, big moves. So those big transitions in life, those risks that we take that really sort of shape our story and our journey. For you, I know you've lived all over the world. You have such an international background, but I love to touch on your big career transition. So from working in finance and banking to what you're doing now in nutrition and within the inflammation sort of expertise, can you talk us through what that time period was like for you in your life when you were going through that big transition?
Yes. A lot of people actually decide to change career and they feel sometimes unhappy somewhere and they decide it's a very conscious choice. For me, it kind of came to me through my own story. So I went through all these health issues. I spent over 10 years researching them. I realized that the cause for most diseases was chronic inflammation. I was slightly horrified that the general public didn't know about that. And once I got better, I actually went back to finance because throughout my years of illness, my main goal was to get better for my children and then to get my life back, to be able to move again, to exercise again, to go out with friends again, and to work again. But when I started working in finance again, my passion was not comparable to the obsession that I had with health, with gut health, and with chronic inflammation. And I have a friend of mine who has a company where he harbors young musical talents, and he's very good at pushing people and giving them confidence to take on a new project. He took me under his wing and he said to me, "You must share with people what you've learned." I said to him, "How?" And he replied, "Well, social media." I wasn't really keen on that because with a background in finance, being on social media and losing my privacy was sounded a bit of a nightmare. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it because there's a charitable aspect to it. I'm helping people. I will improve their lives if my method indeed works. On more people than just me, which is something that I knew because I was privately coaching people and helping people with similar issues than mine. And I had already seen how it made me feel when people got better thanks to me. It really gave me a real high and a sense of purpose. So I started this Instagram account called Eat, Burn, Sleep. I set up a company, I created a logo, I set up a website. And after 9 months, I decided to write a little ebook. And I actually wrote the ebook on a plane journey from Spain to London in a couple of hours. I was writing frantically, it was in my head. And when I came to London, I put it in an ebook form and I put it on the website. People started buying it. It sold really well, but more importantly, the feedback that I've received was incredible. The results were incredible and people wanted more. They wanted more. They were like, how do you do for this? What do you do for that? And I decided, okay, I'm going to write a book. I started writing a book and that was not satisfactory for me because I continue my research work every day. There isn't a day where I'm not looking at some study, where I'm not picking my brains on some inflammation related issue. So I wanted an online platform where I could share all my knowledge to date and continue sharing my knowledge, my research, my latest recipes, my latest mental wellness tips, my latest movement tips. And that's how the Eat, Burn, Sleep platform was born.
It's so fascinating. And I my guests have such incredible platforms. Obviously, you have this incredible community. And I always like to ask, like, right, what was the turning point? What was the catalyst where you started to see things click with your audience? And it sounds like for you, that was really like the ebook.
That's right. Yes. The ebook gave me the confidence that people trusted me, that they were willing to spend money to improve their health, and that they saw results.
So Yalda, I guess to back up and sort of set the framework and the foundation, what is your overall approach to nutrition and healthy living? I'm sure that is a loaded question, but I guess if you could give us sort of like a brief version.
So the first thing is, first, do no harm. What I'm seeing out there, and I have experienced myself when I was unwell, is there are so many people who claim to know things and they actually harm more than they help. And I have been, you know, on the receiving end of that as a patient, as someone who had severe digestive issues. So my first approach, I always think about minimizing damage. Any advice I give is extremely measured. The second thing is teaching people educated moderation. So a lot of people who join my platform say to me, Yalda, it's so incredible. You have transformed my life. I was healthy before. But since I've joined your platform, I don't have any more bloating. My skin is glowing. I don't have anxiety anymore. I have better energy levels. And what I find interesting is they thought they were healthy before. So there's a lot of misinformation out there. My purpose is to educate. The Eat, Burn, Sleep platform is a lifestyle. There is a six-week reset followed by a lifestyle guide with flexible food lists, you have movement videos, you have meditation videos. But most and importantly, there's a masterclass series. There are a lot of articles. You've got specialized advice section with really detailed research about each goal or condition. So if you suffer from unexplained weight gain, there is a section on healthy weight loss. If you suffer from hormonal balances, there is a section on that helping with acne, endometriosis, perimenopause, or any hormonal condition you can think of. And the reason why I do this is because you cannot fully outsource health. You can go to a doctor, get all the checks necessary to rule out anything sinister. You can go to an acupuncturist and get support through Chinese medicine, but you can't fully outsource health. The way you sleep, the way you move, the way you chew, what you're putting in your mouth, at what time, food timing, the treats you're choosing, even the healthy foods you're choosing, you need to truly know, are they actually good for me, or is it just a fad or some
something that Whole Foods is trying to push as healthy. So my aim is really to educate people so they can take charge of their own health and make informed choices. So when they're having fun, they know what choice they prefer doing. So someone recently asked me, oh, Yalda, of all the naughty things like gluten and soy and sugar, what's the worst one? What's the best one for me to have? Well, I've created a system on the platform explaining to people what to do depending on their own circumstances, on their own background and the genetics as well. So we know that the microbiome is actually more important than genes. But at birth, we inherit our mother's microbiome. And even when we are not born naturally, even for babies born by C-section, the fact that your mom holds you in her arms, you're having her breath around you, you inherit a lot of her germs. So let's say if you come from Russia and your mom ate a lot of potatoes, you probably have a microbiome that can process potatoes better than someone who grew up in Northern Africa, where it's not the number one root vegetable of choice. So it also depends on where you come from. So I detail all of that on the platform.
Okay, that makes so much sense. It's a really simple breakdown. And it sounds like, again, everything is really rooted in education and those details like are very important. So
that's right.
When you and I originally spoke to, inflammation came up right away. Obviously, this is really pertinent to everything that you do. Can you sort of spell out for us and for the audience, like, what is chronic inflammation? How do you know if that's potentially something that you're dealing with, but maybe you don't know enough about it?
That's a very good question. So inflammation is actually a very healthy immune response. For example, fever. If you catch a virus, your body will defend itself and you'll have fever. That's going to be an inflammatory response, and it's your immune system defending you. If you cut yourself and your tissues become inflamed and red, that's a healthy response so the tissues can heal. However, when we have low levels of inflammation over a long period of time, so that's chronic inflammation. And when it is in the entire body, so it's chronic systemic inflammation, that is actually very dangerous because it means that the immune system, instead of being resting, thinks it's being attacked all the time and is giving mild inflammatory responses. For example, if you're really stressed, you produce cortisol, and that is inflammatory. So your body is kind of defending itself against what? You know, it's like an imaginary enemy out there, an imaginary pathogen. Or another example is if you have poor gut health, generally the mucus layer that is all over the gastrointestinal lining can disappear, leading to leaky gut syndrome. It's when your gut becomes porous. As a result, some little food particles might go into your bloodstream. Your body sees that as a foreign pathogen, and you start having intolerance reactions or allergic reactions. And some people think that they're allergic to certain foods, when actually it's just because their gut health is poor, and so leading to a porous gut. That will lead to chronic inflammation. Another example is high-intensity workouts. So they're quite fashionable, but really they're very stressful. Any form of pain is seen as an inflammatory trigger. So if you're someone who has a sedentary lifestyle, a very stressful job, a poor diet, and on top of that, at the weekends, you go and do some crazy workouts at the gym, you're basically pushing all the chronic inflammation buttons. And what that does is it switches on your poor genes. So if in your family there's a history of PCOS or diabetes or obesity or anxiety, depression, autoimmune diseases, Crohn's, colitis, eczema, psoriasis, you name it, any disease that is not communicable, which you cannot transmit, any health condition that you cannot catch is linked to the activation of that gene via inflammatory pathways.
Okay, that's so helpful. And so, okay, I guess when it comes to an anti-inflammatory diet, what are some foods and some things that we can sort of think about when it comes to inflammation? Like, what would that diet sort of look like?
So that's such an interesting question, because people often ask me, especially the press, journalists, they ask me for one food to avoid or one food to have.
Sure.
So we know that some foods are anti-inflammatory because they have high levels of omega-3, which is anti-inflammatory, like wild fish, flax seeds, or olive oil, very anti-inflammatory. And then you have foods that are extremely inflammatory with very poor nutrients, like junk foods, which will be packed with additives, emulsifiers, things that have been gut linked to really poor gut health and inflammation. But living to an anti-inflammatory lifestyle is about the 80-20. Because being 100% is stressful and as a result inflammatory, I am really against diets. What I'm sharing with people is not a diet, it's a lifestyle. So I give them the list. So you've got green, orange, red. And you've got a traffic light system. Okay. And you can pick from one most of the time. You can definitely have fun, go out with your friends, have some wine, following the treat system. Because if you were to meal prep at home, put your food in boxes, not see anyone, that's actually very inflammatory. First, there would be almost no nutrients left in your food by the end of the week. Secondly, social interactions have been shown to be the number one factor for longevity. And we've all realized that during lockdown, we suffered so much from a lack of social interaction. It was torture for all of us. So I really encourage people to go out. So I even have an eating out guide, and it's very much about minimizing the damage. So if you're going to a restaurant and you want to have dessert, then you avoid this and this and that. Basically, you can't treat yourself for starter, main, alcohol, and pudding. You've got to make choices. And I give you a very precise system of how you can implement that. So I basically spell out what moderation is with very precise advice and food lists to support people.
Okay, that's super fascinating. Can you give us like a little bit of an example when it comes to, okay, you're out to eat, like you said, you want to go for the appetizer, you want to go for the main, you want to drink a dessert. Like, what would be a good example of sort of finding a little bit of balance in all of those things?
Well, typically, I'll tell you what I do, but each person, you know, will do what they want. And also, it depends what you're having the next day. The treat system is very much over a week and then over the year. It's about building habits. But last night, for example, I went out to dinner. So I had a starter that was from the green list, a main from the green list, a sides from green and orange list. And I had wine on the side, and that's from the red list. That's how I do it. But people, some healthy foods can also be, it's not really about the ingredients. It's also about how things are cooked. Sure. And that's where that's where the food list really come in handy. I'll give you an example. You can't just, wheat is not a category on its own. You can't compare a burger bun from McDonald's and sourdough bread. They're both made of wheat, but they're completely different products.
Yeah.
So the platform goes very deep into educating people. It's quite actually easy to absorb all that information because it's all, you know, this example about sourdough bread, you're like, oh yeah, of course. It's common sense, but it's common sense backed by science every single time.
Yeah, no, that makes so much sense. And I guess one of my other questions is about gut health. In its, I guess, simplest form, like, why is gut health so important? Why does everything sort of go back to the gut?
Again, very interesting question. So the reason why gut health is so important is because poor gut health leads to chronic inflammation. When I started this journey on Eat, Burn, Sleep, the reason why I started using gut health is for people to pick up on it because it became so popular. But the main reason why it's so important is because poor gut health means chronic inflammation. 70% of your immune system cells, gut-associated lymphoid tissue, are produced, sit in your gut. Okay? So that's your immune system. If your immune system is impaired, you get inflamed. Then 60% of your neurotransmitters, serotonin, dopamine, melatonin, are produced in your gut. That impairs your mental well-being. If you have gut inflammation, poor gut health, there's a direct link on neuroinflammation. So the gut is the base for the immune system. Inflammation impairs, chronic inflammation, impairs the functioning of the immune system. So when you have a strong gut health, your immunity functions well, and you have lower chronic inflammation. But it's not just gut health. Gut health is one of the components of chronic inflammation. It's also, as I was saying, mental wellness, and also how you move, plus many other external factors, which unfortunately we do not control, like air quality and, you know, enough light during the day, things like that.
Absolutely. That makes so much sense. And so I guess switching gears a little bit and talking about your program, I know you have a range of different programs that you offer your clients. I'm curious, like, who is this program perfect for? Is it someone who wants to kind of reset and maybe they haven't been feeling their healthiest, they want to kind of start over? Or is it for, I'll hand that back to you.
So I would tend to say it's for everyone. And the people who have been on it, I've had an incredible range of people. So I've had people who come who have specific health issues like psoriasis or PCOS or, you know, 20, 30 kilos to lose, or sometimes 2 kilos to lose. Some women, they want to get in shape for the summer, but actually they realize that they're also bloated and they have a bit of anxiety. So it goes from fixing a huge issue to fine tuning and trying to be the best version of yourself. Because when you lower chronic inflammation, you start getting something called metabolic flexibility. So you tap into your fat reserves when needed, or consume the sugar in your bloodstream when needed. So that allows you also to have a very stable weight, a healthy body weight, and that stays stable. And a lot of people who have been on the lifestyle for over a year, they say, oh my God, Yalda, it is amazing. I go on holidays stress-free now. I enjoy myself because I know I come back and in a week, I'm back on track. It has been shown that the number one factor for a healthy weight is actually your microbiome and your inflammation. Obesity is an inflammatory disease. So the reason why so many Americans are obese is not their fault. And I'm so keen on removing the stigma. It's because the food around them is so inflammatory. And so inflammation leads to unhealthy weight gain, but excess adipose tissue creates a vicious circle of chronic inflammation in the body. So they're kind of stuck in that spiral, but it's quite easy to get them out of there. So to answer your point, I have a lady who came recently to my event in Miami, and I think she had something like 50 pounds weight gain, 20 years of depression. She lost all her weight. She no longer has depression. She filmed a testimonial for me. She wrote a testimonial. But when I met her, I myself genuinely couldn't believe how much this lady was glowing. She was radiating light around her. And seeing that, I thought, wow. So it helps people, you know, with depression, with physiological issues, or people who, I have a girlfriend of mine who started the lifestyle during her divorce. She just, you know, she had let go a little bit during her marriage and has started comfort eating. So she decided after, I mean, we've been friends for 10 years. So she's seen me through the health issues. She's seen me develop the program. But you know how often the closest people to you don't buy into what you're doing? But finally, she started the lifestyle. And not only she lost weight very quickly, but her rosacea disappeared. She no longer has PMS. And she told me, Yalda, it's incredible. I can't even tell when my period is coming. My PMS has disappeared, gone, because the lifestyle focuses on detoxifying the liver, which performs hormone homeostasis, and that's hormone balancing. So, you know, she came focusing on her weight, but actually she sleeps better. She no longer has anxiety. Her rosacea is gone. Her bloating is gone. Her PMS is gone. So, It just makes us a better version of who we are.
Absolutely. And that must have been so rewarding too, to see that like real life example in the flesh post-COVID. Like, is that something that you really thrive off of and that sort of keeps you going, is sort of seeing the results with your clients, or is it something else?
Yes, it really does. That helps. And also I'm quite keen to, you know, set a good role model for my children. I have two boys and I want them to see that you can have a mom who's very loving, who's very warm, who cooks for you, who's a homemaker, but who also works and helps people. I'm trying to show them the image of a woman who, you know, can have different roles and not just stuck in what. You don't have to be like the super driven career woman or the just completely stay at home mom. I think we can handle different things and we can multitask. That's quite important for me to show that to my boys.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that'll resonate just with so many women that listen to this show. So thank you so much for sharing that. I think the other thing too that you and I touched on when we originally spoke was, we are not inspired every day. And I know that rings true for me and my content and my podcast even. Like, I'm not driven and on it and motivated every single day. How do you sort of keep your inspiration up on a day-to-day? You have so much going on as a mom, on your social media, on your Eat, Burn, Sleep platform. Like, how do you sort of keep that up?
So I used to actually pressure myself to be inspired every day. And I've stopped doing that because it is normal not to be. It is also, I think, probably healthy to have down times and times where you reflect more. So I've started accepting that, you know, there are a few days or in the month, you know, around of my cycle where it's time for reflection and doing less and maybe just relaxing. But also what inspires me is when I start looking at medical papers. Whenever I start looking at research papers, that's when my brain goes into research mode and I have more ideas for the platform and things come to me. The other thing that really inspires me is to go around farmers markets, supermarkets. I always come up with ideas for recipes. Going to restaurants also inspires me a lot because I always think, oh my God, I could redo this, but replace this by that so it's healthier, maybe use less fat and do this kind of spices to enhance the taste. That inspires me as well. But I have accepted that, you know, humans go through so many different emotions. We have joy, we have sadness, we have fear, we have anger, we have so many different emotions, and we can't always be in fifth gear. There are times where we need to go back in second gear. And so I've accepted that, but I used to pressure myself to be inspired every day. And I have realized that it's kind of exhausting.
Yeah.
So it's okay not to be inspired every day. And more important to have a long-term you know, outlook and think about durability, longevity. I want to do this for a long time. I want to help as many people as possible. And if I'm not in fifth gear every day, it doesn't matter, because the lifestyle is working. It is helping people. I don't need to be in full pelt all the time for them to get results.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It can seem counterintuitive when we're feeling a little bit stuck, but you're so right. It's like by actually doing, by getting outside of yourself, by going outside, like you said, farmer's market, getting inspiration sort of outside of your own head, I think is so important. I know that. I know I feel that so much. I think the other thing that we spoke on is we are not healthy every day. We are not on top of our fitness. We're not on top of our diet. We're not on top of all those things every single day. What do you recommend to do if maybe you're eating poorly or you're not taking care of yourself in the best way or going through a little bit of like a phase? How do we sort of reset? Are there a couple of simple things that we can do to sort of just reset the system?
Yes. So what I do is I talk to myself like a child when I do that. Because when we have a perfectionist outlook on life, it leads to extremes and it leads to poor results. Because you're thinking, oh my God, I had that piece of chocolate. I might as well have all the ice cream tub now and the pizza and screw it, and I'll have a soda. And if you have an outlook of damage limitation and you're talking to yourself like a child, so you tell the kid in your case, you've had the ice cream, it's enough sugar, darling, for today.
Love it.
It's enough. You've had your sugar, it's mm-hmm. good, you know. Mm-hmm. You're allowed treats, but not 20 a day, because that's gonna lead to diabetes. And generally, when I go off track, I talk to myself like a child and I bring myself back on a routine. So I ensure that I sleep well. I try and increase mindfulness, or I reduce any screen time, because when we are on screens, phone, or it takes us out of being mindful, and being less mindful leads to being unhealthy. If you're more mindful, you're actually enjoying your food, you're chewing it better. All your enzymes are being produced and you probably hit that satisfaction quicker. So I talk to myself like a child. I bring myself on a routine and I completely let go of perfectionism. It's about improving the habits once at a time. And the advice that I give to people on the platform, I always ask them to see a wall in front of them with bricks. And if they are red bricks, those are very inflammatory choices that also didn't give them much pleasure. And green bricks are anti-inflammatory choices. And a green brick could be, you know, going out with friends and having one glass of wine, not four. Because you go out, you have one glass of wine, you actually enjoyed yourself, you had a social interaction. So that's actually a positive. And as the weeks go by, you have more green bricks than red bricks, you're doing well. It's not about getting a whole wall of green bricks at once at all. It's about damage limitation and progression, nurturing your body and not depriving.
Totally. I guess the word that keeps coming to mind as you're talking about this is like moderation. Is that kind of what it's all about?
Yes.
So obviously the mental component to everything that we've spoken on, I think, is obviously so linked and so huge. How do you keep in a generally like positive mindset on a day-to-day?
That's a discipline. That really is a discipline. So people on the lifestyle have this little morning meditation to do and evening meditation. What they help do is those meditations, they really help with a positive mindset. They also help rewire the subconscious, so you keep to your habits in a very easy manner. So you go through your day with ease, without any friction. And thinking positively is a mindset and a discipline. So you can either start being a victim and think, oh my God, it's so awful. And the politics are a mess. And we still don't know what's going to happen. Is there going to be another strain of COVID? And you could think like that. Or you could think, this is so wonderful. Travel has opened again. At the end of the day, COVID was a difficult time. But look, we've learned so much. We now have meetings on Zoom that are efficient. We don't need to waste that much time on travel. We're enjoying social interactions more than ever because we've realized how important it is. And now I'm investing more in my friendships than I did before. You know, it's all a mindset. One day my children were quite young and we were talking because at school there was a lot of talk about mental health. So the children speak about it at home. And I said to them, I said, boys, I actually read a study, it was in the newspapers, and it was saying, scientists, some researchers have found the key to happiness. Have more positive thoughts a day than negative thoughts. As simple as that. And I told my children, I said, I can put food on the table for you. I can cuddle you. I can love you. I can take you on holidays. I can help you with your homework, but I cannot think for you. So those thoughts you manufacture in your head, you take responsibility for. And it's for you to put a positive twist on everything so you can be happy. I can't do that for you.
Absolutely. I love that. So Yelda, as a last question, is there like a last tip of advice or last word you want to leave our audience with today?
Yes. Invest in your health. It's your most valuable asset.
I love that. Thank you so much. This was such a valuable conversation. So many amazing tips from you. So thank you for being with us today. But what is next for you? Is there anything exciting that's coming up that you want to share on your platform or anything kind of going on?
Yes, I'm actually really excited. You see, thanks to the boom in technology during lockdown, now so many platforms offer many more functionalities. And I'm going to be able to offer a live functionality on my platform so all my subscribers can have lives with me regularly. And I'm launching that next week, so I'm going to have lives with them. And the next thing for us is also an app coming up soon, hopefully.
Amazing. Sounds great. We'll keep up with you. And where can everybody follow you, find your program, and all of that jazz?
So they can find me on Instagram at Eat Burn Sleep and on the internet, eatburnsleep.com.
Perfect. Yelda, thank you again. Such a great combo. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Em. Thanks for having me.
Of course. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening and watching today. If you found value from this episode, please share it with a friend. Tag us on Instagram at The Big Move Podcast. We always love to hear your feedback, and we'll see you on the next episode.